Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, I'm John Osterlund. A disappointing night last night for the New Orleans Saints as they got beat by the Dallas Cowboys. They ended up losing by 10 points. Their defense kept them in the game, but it was a rough night for Taysom Hill. In the offense, the fourth quarter was a nightmare for Taysom Hill. We're going to talk more about that coming up on the show. But, and it's the first time ever as a head coach, Sean Payton has lost five games in a row. The good news for the Saints is they play the New York Jets next week. But that was frustrating last night in the Dome. Again, more on that later in the show. Yesterday afternoon, or during the day yesterday, the New Orleans Police Department, during a press conference, announced there were 32 carjackings in November. They say that's the most in a month that they can ever recall. So and somewhere in New Orleans we're breaking records. The New Orleans police chief Sean Ferguson yesterday during this press conference is particularly concerned about the number of carjackings that are unfolding. I mean, some of the carjackings are leaving the victims seriously hurt. 32 people were carjacked in New Orleans in November. And out of those carjackings, the suspects were armed in 17 of those. Investigators believe the majority of the carjackings were committed by the same three or four groups of people. And those groups of people are mixed adults and juveniles. So Chief Ferguson yesterday said, this is an organized situation here with adults, some adults, and some juveniles working together in a handful of groups to jack these cars.
I've said that back in 2019 when we were talking about like the rise of carjackings, and when some of the carjackers were caught, they were 14, 15-year-olds, and how they would scout out parking lots. And figured that I figured that out back in 2019. Yes, I truly believe there's an organized crime ring in New Orleans that targets cars and they use juveniles as their assailants.
Yeah, we have talked about that before on the show. I mean, we've talked about some carjackings in the city of New Orleans where the police grab a 15-year-old or a 16-year-old.
Right, and the way they commit these carjackings, clearly they had to be coached by an adult because the 15-year-olds and 14-year-olds wouldn't have the wherewithal to pull these carjackings off on the scale that they were doing it even back then. So, there is a crime ring going on.
And the New Orleans police says they solved the crime 50% of the time. That's what they say their solve rate is. But I remember we've talked about on the show, I mean, because the New Orleans police force is 500 or 600 cops short, they're so undermanned that there have been carjackings where someone has called the police and the New Orleans police said, we're sorry, we just don't.
All right, so
we don't have anybody. I remember that one carjacking where The owner of the car left his cell phone in the car. They knew exactly where his car was, but the NOPD said, we don't have any officers. I mean, you get your car stolen, and they're telling you, sorry, there's nothing we can do to help you.
So that means the 50% of the carjackings that the police solve are part of that percent that they actually respond to. Meaning there's a whole slew of carjackings that the police can't respond to because they're either an undermanned or they can't get to it. So those go unsolved by default. Then by the ones that they do actually get a chance to respond to, only 50% of those are solved?
All they said, Coleman, was the solve rate is 50%.
Yeah, I'm just going to assume that the solve rate are the ones that they were actually responding to, not just in general when it comes to the carjacking and the numbers. Well,
that was the main thing that was said yesterday by New Orleans Police Chief Sean Ferguson. And, you know, and in those carjackings in November, again, 17 times out of the 32 carjackings, the carjacker was armed. So that's a little more than 50%. And that means in 15 of the 32 carjackings, the cars were jacked without a weapon.
Yeah. See, I think some of the jackings come from, like, those gas stations where they don't need a weapon. They just see, like...
People leave their keys in their car by mistake.
Yeah, we talked about that a few weeks ago where a guy was making deliveries and he was just going in and out this establishment, but he left this vehicle running and you just go in there and take it. But we've done stories like that where there were people just hanging around gas stations just waiting. And as soon as somebody left their car running, somebody just hop out the bushes, hop into the car and pull off and drive off. One even had kids in the car. You know?
I just can't wait till the New Orleans Police Department starts hiring a lot of police officers. I know recently over the last month or so, a bunch of money came into the city for that reason, over $1 million for that reason to hire more police officers because they're such an undermanned. The New Orleans Police Department, they were like the New Orleans Saints football team. They were undermanned. When you look at the injuries that the Saints are dealing with, their two best offensive linemen were out last night. Their best running back, Alvin Kamara, out last night. They have so many injuries to important people. You know, like the New Orleans Police Department, they're a lot like the New Orleans Saints in that regard. Undermanned. Or I don't want to be sexist. Underpersoned.
Yeah, understaffed.
Understaffed, the New Orleans Police Department.
Well, for those who are concerned that, you know, they may be at risk for getting their car jacked, they can take the procedures or the precautions that I do, which is just drive a POS car. You know, you drive you a piece of crap and the carjackers want you. I could probably leave my car in the middle of Canal Street and nobody would touch it.
Well, Coleman, I mean, telling people who listen to the radio show to drive crappy cars or
pieces of garbage. I'm just saying that's one of the methods that I use to make sure that I don't get carjacked. Just have an unappealing car. No tint, no sound, no rims, nothing of value. It just gets to work.
All right, coming up on the show. A woman recently got married and she vomited, passed out, and got pooped on at her wedding. How many women can say that they have been pooped on? Someone dropped a deuce on them on their wedding day, on the day they were married. Wait till you hear this story. We got a lot to get to on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Ozzy Osbourne, happy birthday. Today, Ozzy turns 73 years old. John Michael Osborne, born 73 years ago today in Birmingham, England. And it's pretty amazing he's still alive. When you think about all of the drugs and the alcohol and where his life was, especially as Black Sabbath got really big, and then when they fired him, and before Black Sabbath's manager's daughter, Sharon, hooked up with Ozzy, she basically saved his life and got him to get it together to get his solo career going.
Which did you prefer, his solo career or with Black Sabbath? If I know you don't like to pick and choose, but just out of curiosity, how do you think he did as a solo artist as opposed to with him with Black Sabbath?
He became every bit of as big as his former band as a solo artist. He became every bit as big, if not bigger, than Black Sabbath when after he put out those first couple of albums. Because those first two Ozzy Osbourne albums,
yeah, because one of the
are incredible.
One of the debates people have is, why is it that Black Sabbath is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but Ozzy Osbourne as a solo artist isn't yet? He's almost as big as Black Sabbath.
Yeah, he without a doubt he should be. There are a few artists who are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame more than once, right, who are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice. They're in because of the band that they were in, and then if they went solo. And Ozzy should definitely be there twice. There's no doubt about it. But today's his birthday, and because it is, we'll be playing more Ozzy Osbourne than usual to celebrate the birthday boy here on Bayou 95.7. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. A disappointing night last night in the Caesars Superdome as the Saints were beaten by the Dallas Cowboys. The Saints defense kept them in that game. But on offense, I mean, all the injuries, their two best offensive linemen, Teron Armstead, Ryan Ramczyk, didn't play, out injured. Their best running back, Alvin Kamara, didn't play, out injured. You know their best wide receiver, he's been out injured all season, Michael Thomas. And in the beginning of the game, in the first quarter, their quarterback, Taysom Hill, hurt his finger when he passed the ball as he was following through with his arm. He hit his finger on a Dallas Cowboy defensive lineman, and it messed up his finger, and that didn't help him. But he had a pretty rough go of it. Well, the fourth quarter was a nightmare. We will talk more about that coming up on the show. But that was that was disappointing last night in the Superdome. I've never seen a story like this before. Woman caught breastfeeding her hairless cat on a Delta flight.
Say what?
I said woman caught breastfeeding her hairless cat on a Delta flight. Ew! She whipped out her breasts and started breastfeeding her hairless cat on a flight from Syracuse, New York to Atlanta, Georgia the other day. A flight attendant told her repeatedly to stop and put her cat back in its cage, but the woman refused.
There's so much to unpack here, not just her boobs. All right, cat. I didn't even know cats were allowed just as a carry-on item, even if it is in the cage. That's one thing, because what if other passengers had cat allergies? So how is the cat allowed to be among just the general population?
Well, Coleman, the cat evidently came onto the plane in a cat carrier.
Yeah, but even in a cat carrier, you know, cat dander, if somebody on that flight would have got cat allergies and, well, that's a hairless cat, so I guess.
A message was sent through the aircraft communications addressing and reporting system to alert Delta crew in Atlanta, where the plane was headed, that a passenger in seat 13A is breastfeeding a cat and will not put cat back in its carrier when the flight attendant requested.
For this cat to understand how to be breastfed, that means she had to do this at home. Like, it just didn't start on a plane. She just didn't whip it out on a plane just to be, you know, have shock value. That means this cat understood the assignment. This cat understood.
When you say whip it out, are you talking about the cat or her breast?
Both the boob and the cat. That means this is a habit. They've done this before multiple times. She had to train the cat to accept it's her boob as feeding.
There was a photo that was taken of the screen where it says in 13A is passenger in 13A is breastfeeding a cat and will not put cat back in its carriage. That message, someone took a picture of that on a computer screen and put it online. And that's how we know about it this morning. That's the only reason we know about it this morning.
You have a cat, John. Have you ever seen a cat's fangs, cat's teeth?
Yes.
Could you imagine a woman saying, yes, I'm willing to put my nipple in that? If you ever look at a cat's claws or a cat's fangs, that's not nothing you want to put any body part by. So the idea that she was willingly giving up her boob for the hairless cat to nibble on or breastfeed off, she must really have some toughies.
What are you talking about? Her
boob, yeah, her nipple. Her nipple had to be tough to endure that type of pain. Because most women, when they breastfeed natural babies, the babies don't have teeth yet. It's just gums. So there's no pain, but this cat is a cat. It has fangs.
So a flight attendant named Ainsley Elizabeth, who was on board during the incident, she went on TikTok.
Of course she did.
To explain more of what went down. This woman had one of those, like, hairless cats swaddled up in a blanket so it looked like a baby. Her shirt was up, and she was trying to get the cat to latch, and she wouldn't put the cat back in the carrier, and the cat was screaming for its life.
Oh, so the cat didn't want the boob.
I guess the hairless cat did not want to breastfeed. And then this woman also said in another video that security got involved, but she wasn't sure what happened to the woman and her cat once the jet landed in Atlanta.
Probably just went home. I mean, she didn't really break any laws, did she?
Yeah, you can't be in public breastfeeding a cat. That's
is that
obscenity.
A law?
That's
so you can breast. If it was a person, it wouldn't have been obscenity. The fact that it was a cat, that made it obscene.
Yes.
That's weird, because the issue didn't seem to be that her boob was out. That's not what nobody was complaining about. They were complaining that they needed to put the cat back in the carrier. I guess for either safety or allergies or whatever. But clearly, if the cat was screaming for its life, it's an animal. They have the fight or flight mechanism. So I don't think the issue was a boob in general. I think that's weird, but I don't think her issue was a boob hanging out. I think the issue was the cat being just free on the airplane where it should have been in the cage.
The Delta Airlines website outlines its policies of women breastfeeding children. They say Delta fully supports a woman's right to breastfeed on board Delta and Delta Connection aircraft and in Delta facilities. Breast pumps are allowed on board. At the airport, if you prefer, many airports do offer private location rooms or spaces.
I would prefer a woman breastfeed in public where, you know, just to make sure we all can monitor and get the education, make sure the babies get the nutrition and all that.
Delta allows animals such as small dogs, cats, and household birds to board domestic flights and must be able to fit in a small ventilated pet carrier.
Now that's the part I disagree with, because once again, unless you check every passenger for any kind of animal allergies, I don't think it's safe to have pets on board just a plane or a bus or a train, even if they are emotional support animals. You know, you don't know who, like, what if the person in 13B was allergic to hairless cats? Now you have this woman with a boob hanging out trying to feed a hairless cat in 13A while somebody on 13B has some sort of cat allergies. I don't think that's a good call.
No, the woman trying to breastfeed a hairless cat.
Right.
The woman trying to breastfeed. You just said feed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, Palmer says, I think technically that's a crime against nature. You know what? That I can agree with. That is a crime.
Without a doubt.
Trying to force a cat to latch onto your boob. Yes,
that's a felony crime against nature.
Just like putting on sweaters on dogs. I think all that's a crime against nature personally. So, yeah, I agree with you, Palmer.
Just when you thought you heard it all, I'm sure just when flight attendants thought they've seen it all.
Puff says, I would love to see this. I would, too. What's going on these flights in 2021?
Yeah, ever since the damn pandemic, all kinds of crazy stuff, even more so than ever before, seems to be happening on commercial air flights here in the United States. I've never seen a headline like that before, and I hope I never do again. Woman caught breastfeeding her hairless cat on a Delta flight. All right, coming up, we are going to talk more about last night's game. We got a lot of things we got to get to. Hang out with us. And I got to tell you about a woman who got married, and her wedding day is something that nightmares are made of. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Last night while I was watching the Cowboys-Saints game, actor Alec Baldwin was interviewed by ABC News about the incident on his movie set where he shot and killed someone. He said in the interview that he didn't pull the trigger. A bunch of people are saying he's lying because Alec Baldwin has always been a straight shooter. So, boy, we're going to see how that unfolds. I mean, not just the criminal aspect of it, but the civil aspect. I mean, how much money he and the people who are making that movie are going to be sued for. But I didn't watch that interview last night. I was watching the Cowboys and the Saints, and more on that coming up. That was disappointing. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. Usually, we do not like wrong numbers. Whether it's a wrong number that comes into our phone, and we answer it and say, oh, wait a minute, sorry, you got the wrong number. Or if we dial a wrong number, we don't like it. That's frustrating. I've got an example, though, that bucks that. I've got an example of, for some people, a wrong number was one of the greatest things that ever happened to them in their lives. It was a high school basketball team in Michigan. They were organizing a team practice when someone accidentally included a wrong number in the group text. What happened next, they will never, ever forget. A member of the Notre Dame prep freshman basketball team up there in Michigan was adding his teammates' numbers to a group text the other day when he accidentally added the wrong number. What he didn't realize was that the wrong number was for Tampa Bay Buccaneers cornerback Sean Murphy Buntings. That was his number. It was Sean Murphy Bunting, that guy. So, and the freshman basketball player said, we were trying to add people, and the last person was one of my teammates, but I was one digit off. So Murphy Bunting, again, the cornerback, the defensive back, of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he actually started talking to the people that sent him the wrong number. See, that's something I never would have done. But he said, do you know who you're talking to? And they said, no. He said, I play cornerback on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the next thing he did, he got Tom Brady, along with Leonard Fournette, New Orleans native, to communicate with that freshman boys basketball team up in Michigan.
That is pretty cool.
And good thing for those basketball players in Michigan, because if they were going to have a wrong number, And it went to the football team that they follow, a member of the Detroit Lions, who have not won a game yet this year. I don't know if any of the kids, any of the freshman basketball players, would have wanted to continue the conversation with a member of the winless Detroit Lions. But now you've got Tom Brady that these kids are talking to in a group chat.
Through the cornerback, right? Because I'm quite sure if it's just the cornerback, the kids were probably like, who? I'm sorry, we got the wrong number.
Well, that's why the cornerback I can grab Tom Brady for you.
I wonder what Tom Brady told him. Do what the hell you want. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see the kids. Because it was a FaceTime call, right?
Yeah, or it was some sort of group text. They just happened to add the wrong number. I think it went to FaceTime after he told them. Yeah. And then since they had his number and he had their number, I think they FaceTimed. He grabbed Tom Brady in the locker room and said, hey, talk to these kids. They're freshmen in high school.
So here's how amazing it is. Just be honest, because I'm going to answer too. When's the last time you answered a number you didn't recognize.
I couldn't even tell you.
Exactly. So the fact that this cornerback actually answered is amazing within itself, because nobody does that anymore. Nobody looks at a number that they don't recognize and just says, let's see who it is, unless they filled out a job application or something like that. But other than that, nobody does that. They decline. Because what's the worst that can happen? Hey, what's up? Yeah, we're here to talk to you about your car's extended warranty. It's about to expire in 30 days.
Yo, it's somebody trying to sell you something,
mm-hmm.
trying to get money from you. It's one of the great things about cell phones, because, you know, before cell phones, we never knew who was calling us. Whether your phone at home or your phone at the office, at work, we never, ever, ever knew who was calling us.
No, those were scary times, John.
And now we know every call that's coming into us, and I don't think I've ever answered a number I didn't know, I didn't recognize. Because if it's important, they can leave a voicemail.
I don't even have my voicemail set up. You're going to have to text me.
How about that? Coming up next, it's the Big O. Last night's game was frustrating. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. There's the birthday boy, Ozzy Osbourne. Happy birthday, Oz. He's 73 today and still going strong. And because it's his birthday, we're going to be playing more Ozzy Osbourne than usual today. That's a good one right there. I don't know. I do know that that's a great song. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. You want to know something real quick? Because my last name is Osterlund, it starts with an O. My father, everybody called him Ozzy. And when I was a kid, I got that nickname. And even when I was in high school, my teachers called me Ozzy. And then that stopped after I went to college, moved out of town. But my father was always known as Ozzy, and when I was a kid, everybody called me Ozzy.
So when did Ozone come about?
Ozone came about when I got my first big job, Coleman, in Hartford. Somebody called up the listener line and said, "Your name's Osterlund? The O-Man, the Ozone." And Ozone just kind of stuck. And that started in Hartford. And then everybody started calling me Ozone in Hartford. And then I got the job in Boston. And everybody was calling me Ozone in Boston.
So today is Ozzy Osbourne's birthday. That's two O's. You were called Ozzy in high school. Then you went to Old Man to Ozone. And it's a little bit after 7, which means...
it's time for this morning's Big O.
Oh. Oh.
Always want to get your take on the Big O. And last night, it was a disappointing night for the New Orleans Saints as they lost here at home to the Dallas Cowboys. You know, the Saints' defense kept them in that game. The Cowboys have the number one offense in the NFL. And the Saints' defense really held the Cowboys' offense in check. The problem was the Saints' offense. And the problem was injuries. The Saints last night played without their two best offensive linemen, Teron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk. The Saints played without their one of the best running backs in the NFL, Alvin Kamara. the Saints have been without their best wide receiver all season, Michael Thomas. The Saints starting tight end didn't play. And I'll tell you, this whole season, the Saints wide receiving core has been historically bad. If you look at their statistics, the drop passes, they have been as bad as any wide receiver core in NFL history. I mean, they've been awful. And last night, Kenny Stills dropped two passes from Taysom Hill.
A texter predicted that yesterday and said that, all that means now is that the receivers will be dropping balls from Taysom Hill.
That's what happened with Kenny Stills. And last night was Taysom Hill's first start of the year. And he did injure his finger early in the game. In the first quarter, when he was passing, after he released the ball, as his arm was following through, he smashed his finger on the forearm of a Dallas Cowboy defender, and it messed up his finger. As a matter of fact, not long after it happened, they showed the sidelines. He went into the little blue tent they have set up there, the medical tent, and they showed Trevor Siemian getting up.
Uh-oh.
but he never came in, and Troy Aikman, who was the color analyst last night, because the game was on Fox, he was covering it. He said, they're going to have to, with the way Taysom Hill has waited to be the starting quarterback, they're going to have to physically drag him off the field for him not to play. And so Taysom Hill came back in, and he had a splint on his finger, on his throwing hand, and a bunch of the passes he threw last night were not good. And then in the fourth quarter, he got intercepted on multiple occasions, and the Saints went down.
Well, overall, I think the outcome of the game, when you consider everything that has happened this season, the shape that the Saints were in going in, I think it was kind of predictable what the outcome would be. I was just trying to see if Taysom Hill would outperform Trevor Siemian, because I figured they were going to lose anyway, but how badly were they going to lose? Would Taysom Hill put up more of a fight, be more scrappier than Siemian? And with the finger, with the foot, I think Taysom did outperform Trevor Siemian. I think Hill would give us a better chance at winning, even though we might not win another game for the rest of the season. I would still put Taysom over Trevor.
After Taysom Hill was intercepted for the fourth time last night, and that ended up being a pick six,
mm-hmm.
The Cowboy defender intercepted the ball and ran it in for a touchdown. The Saints were down 27-10, and they ended up scoring a late touchdown on a long pass and run. So the final score, they lost by 10, 27-17. But, I mean, the first half of that game was tight. The Cowboys were only up 13-6 at halftime. And again, the Saints defense played well. They kept that team in the game last night. But look, the Saints still have a big question at that quarterback position.
Yeah.
I mean, Jameis Winston was playing fairly well. I mean, his numbers weren't lighting up trees, but you know, he had the same group of wide receivers, historically bad wide receivers, that Taysom Hill is now throwing to. And, Jameis Winston was doing all right. But then when he got hurt, he won't be back for the until next year. And now the Saints are going to see what Taysom Hill can do. They probably would have started that a few weeks ago, but he's been injured.
Yeah. This text says, the QB was horrible. I don't know why you keep promoting this guy as the starting QB. He is at his best at tight end or fullback.
He's at his best at Swiss Army Knife. That's where he's at his best, when he can play a little tight end, a little fullback, when he comes in and plays quarterback and runs the ball. He's really good on special teams. He's blocked punts. He's extremely unique that way. There aren't very many football players in the NFL. I don't know if there's anybody that's like him like that.
I don't think that's. I think a healthy Taysom Hill is a good running quarterback. May not be the, you know, like the deep ball gunslinger.
No, but you can't in the NFL, Coleman. Mm-hmm. You can't last and succeed simply being a good running quarterback. You'll take too much of a beating. What we don't know about Taysom Hill is if he can consistently throw the ball accurately downfield. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. There's the birthday boy, Ozzy Osbourne. Happy birthday, Oz. He's 73 today and still going strong. And because it's his birthday, we're going to be playing more Ozzy Osbourne than usual today. That's a good one right there. I don't know. I do know that that's a great song. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. You want to know something real quick? Because my last name is Osterlund, it starts with an O. My father, everybody called him Ozzy. And when I was a kid, I got that nickname. And even when I was in high school, my teachers called me Ozzy. And then that stopped after I went to college, moved out of town. But my father was always known as Ozzy, and when I was a kid, everybody called me Ozzy.
So when did Ozone come about?
Ozone came about when I got my first big job, Coleman, in Hartford. Somebody called up the listener line and said, your name's Osterlund? The O-Man, the Ozone. And Ozone just kind of stuck, and that started in Hartford, and then everybody started calling me Ozone in Hartford, and then I got the job in Boston, and everybody was calling me Ozone in Boston.
So today is Ozzy Osbourne's birthday. That's two O's. You were called Ozzy in high school, then you went to Old Man to Ozone, and it's a little bit after 7, which means
it's time for this morning's Big O.
Oh. Oh.
Always want to get your take on the Big O. And last night, it was a disappointing night for the New Orleans Saints as they lost here at home to the Dallas Cowboys. You know, the Saints' defense kept them in that game. The Cowboys have the number one offense in the NFL. And the Saints' defense really held the Cowboys' offense in check. The problem was the Saints' offense. And the problem was injuries. The Saints last night played without their two best offensive linemen, Teron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk. The Saints played without their one of the best running backs in the NFL, Alvin Kamara. The Saints have been without their best wide receiver all season, Michael Thomas. The Saints starting tight end didn't play. And I'll tell you, this whole season, the Saints' wide receiving core has been historically bad. If you look at their statistics, the drop passes, they have been as bad as any wide receiver core in NFL history. I mean, they've been awful. And last night, Kenny Stills dropped two passes from Taysom Hill.
A texter predicted that yesterday and said that, all that means now is that the receivers will be dropping balls from Taysom Hill.
That's what happened with Kenny Stills. And last night was Taysom Hill's first start of the year. And he did injure his finger early in the game, in the first quarter when he was passing, after he released the ball, as his arm was following through, he smashed his finger on the forearm of a Dallas Cowboy defender, and it messed up his finger. As a matter of fact, not long after it happened, they showed the sidelines. He went into the little blue tent they have set up there, the medical tent, and they showed Trevor Siemian getting up.
Uh-oh.
but he never came in, and Troy Aikman, who was the color analyst last night, because the game was on Fox, he was covering it, he said, they're going to have to, with the way Taysom Hill has waited to be the starting quarterback, they're going to have to physically drag him off the field for him not to play. And so Taysom Hill came back in, and he had a splint on his finger, on his throwing hand, and a bunch of the passes he threw last night were not good. And then in the fourth quarter, he got intercepted on multiple occasions, and the Saints went down.
But overall, I think the outcome of the game, when you consider everything that has happened this season, the shape that the Saints were in going in, I think it was kind of predictable what the outcome would be. I was just trying to see if Taysom Hill would outperform Trevor Siemian, because I figured they were going to lose anyway, but how badly were they going to lose? Would Taysom Hill put up more of a fight, be more scrappier than Siemian? And with the finger, with the foot, I think Taysom did outperform Trevor Siemian. I think Hill would give us a better chance at winning, even though we might not win another game for the rest of the season. I would still put Taysom over Trevor.
After Taysom Hill was intercepted for the fourth time last night, and that ended up being a pick six,
mm-hmm.
The Cowboy defender intercepted the ball and ran it in for a touchdown. The Saints were down 27-10, and they ended up scoring a late touchdown on a long pass and run. So the final score, they lost by 10, 27-17. But, I mean, the first half of that game was tight. The Cowboys were only up 13-6 at halftime. And again, the Saints defense played well. They kept that team in the game last night. But look, the Saints still have a big question at that quarterback position.
Yeah.
I mean, Jameis Winston was playing fairly well. I mean, his numbers weren't lighting up trees, but you know, he had the same group of wide receivers, historically bad wide receivers, that Taysom Hill is now throwing to. And, you know, Jameis Winston was doing all right. But then when he got hurt, he won't be back for the until next year. And now the Saints are going to see what Taysom Hill can do. They probably would have started that a few weeks ago, but he's been injured.
Yeah. This text says, the QB was horrible. I don't know why you keep promoting this guy as the starting QB. He is at his best at tight end or fullback.
He's at his best at Swiss Army Knife. That's where he's at his best, when he can play a little tight end, a little fullback, when he comes in and plays quarterback and runs the ball. He's really good on special teams. He's blocked punts. He's extremely unique that way. There aren't very many football players in the NFL. I don't know if there's anybody that's like him like that.
I don't think that's. But, I think a healthy Taysom Hill is a good running quarterback. May not be the, you know, like the deep ball gunslinger.
No, but you can't in the NFL, Coleman. Mm-hmm. You can't last and succeed simply being a good running quarterback. You'll take too much of a beating. What we don't know about Taysom Hill is if he can consistently throw the ball accurately downfield. We don't know that. He's never done that. We don't know. I mean, there was a couple of stretches in that game last night where all he did was run and the Cowboys couldn't stop him. But you cannot, as a quarterback, continue to take hits like that throughout a game.
Nine Ball says, I think that's one of the best games I've seen in a long time.
It was an entertaining game. Again, the first half, it was 13-6 at halftime. Anything could have happened in the second half. And you know, the defense had that Cowboys offense. They handled them pretty well.
So where do we go from here?
That's the question. I mean, they signed Taysom Hill recently to a contract, which, like him, is very unique. It's a hybrid contract. It will pay him $90 million if he's the starting quarterback. It will pay him $40 million if he's not. We don't know if Taysom Hill can consistently throw the ball downfield accurately. We don't know that. So they're gonna find out what they have with him the rest of this year. They still have an outside chance to make the playoffs. They have a rookie who they drafted from Notre Dame, Ian Book. When do you turn to him and see what you got with him when you're out of the playoff race? I mean, they still don't know exactly what they have with Taysom Hill.
But the good news is, since it's a Thursday game, they have a long enough time to get better, get healed before the next Sunday game. So I think they start Taysom again just to give him a shot. I mean, they gave Simeon three. They might as well finish the season with Taysom just to see.
What do you think? You're a Saints fan listening. Do we have the quarterback that we need to win another Super Bowl on the roster right now? Or are the Saints going to have to go out and maybe trade this offseason for a veteran quarterback? Text us, 504-260-9595. Keep your text short. If it's good, we'll read it coming up next on the show. Please never text while you're driving. Your thoughts on the Saints quarterback position. Do we have the guy on our team who's going to lead us in the future, or is he not here yet? Your text on that next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station. It was today in 1992, the very first text message was sent by a 22-year-old engineer. The engineer texted Merry Christmas before driving over an embankment. Hey, coming up next on our show, your texts on the Saints quarterback situation. Do the Saints have the quarterback who's going to lead them to their next Super Bowl on their roster right now? Or are they going to have to make a move in the offseason for a veteran? Your texts on that next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. If you're just joining us, this morning's Big O segment was about last night's Saints loss to the Cowboys. Again, the Saints defense kept them in the game for a long time. But it was the offense who sputtered. And Taysom Hill ended up getting intercepted four times last night. There were a couple of bad drop passes by Kenny Stills. Again, this wide receiving core without Michael Thomas, they could go down as the worst in NFL history if you look at the numbers. They are historically bad at wide receiver this year. Plus, last night, you had your two best offensive linemen out injured. No Teron Armstead, no Ryan Ramczyk. Obviously, no Alvin Kamara last night. And it was rough. But the question I have, and we don't know about Taysom Hill. We know he's a great football player. He's a fantastic Swiss Army knife. We don't know if he is an NFL starting quarterback yet, because we don't know if he can consistently, accurately throw the ball down the field. We just don't know that yet. And you know, he got banged up last night too. He messed up a finger on his throwing hand early in the game. So, look, the Saints now, they've lost five in a row. They're 5-7. They still have a shot to be a playoff team. They have to start winning next week. You don't want to turn it over to the rookie Ian Book while you still have a chance to make the playoffs, do you? The Saints just signed Taysom Hill to a $90 million contract extension if he's the starting quarterback. That contract is $40 million if he's not the starting quarterback. He'll have to be able to live on that. And Jameis Winston played pretty well earlier in the season. He'll be back next year. Do the Saints have the quarterback that's going to lead them to the next Super Bowl on their roster right now? In your opinion, I ask you to text us. Or are they going to have to make a move in the offseason, trade for a veteran?
Shay from Thibodeau says, he is not a good QB because he runs. There are plenty of running QBs, and he has a cannon. It's just simply he hasn't had enough starts to be as accurate as Drew. Matt says, simply put, Hill is not an NFL QB. Lamar Jackson can throw four picks and still win. Taysom can't.
Well, yeah, again, Taysom Hill's only started a few games, and I mean, is this the time to find out now what he can do?
This text says, OMG, what a waste of money and a hit on the salary cap. We could have used that money to get a talent at wideout. We need to sign a QB.
Not happy with the recent Taysom Hill contract extension, the hybrid contract.
The Saints had plenty of opportunity in the last 5 years of Breeze's career in the draft, trade, or to draft, trade, or free agency to get a QB. They fumbled the ball.
That's fair.
Robbie says, that's why he's not worth the money that they're paying him. Talking about Taysom Hill. Roy says, the Saints had plenty. Oh, wait, no, that's the same one. The Saints were doing fine until that bogus called blindsiding. They had the first down, and they took it back from us, and the game went downhill after that.
That was a bad call when they called that against the Saints. I did not think that was an illegal block, but you know, you don't want to blame the whole game on one call. Although, go back to the NFC Championship game a few years ago against the Rams.
Who's your dick says, give Hill more time. I'm also a Bears fan, and last night reminded me of the Trubisky years. Blockers gave him a little time, and the receivers suck. You can't blame everything on the QB. This text says, Neither Trevor Siemian or Taysom Hill had a running game to help them out. Kamara has been out almost as long as Winston. I think that's a fair point.
That is fair.
Jay says, Hill needs to play a regular position. The Saints don't have any good QBs. They need to look for a good QB. And his last text says, do you think the Saints were not prepared for Drew to retire so a QB was a scramble this season? Definitely need to find one in the offseason.
Yeah, and there's always veterans available in the offseason. Yeah, hell, people are saying that this is Aaron Rodgers' last year in Green Bay. People are saying Russell Wilson isn't happy in Seattle anymore. You know, before the whole massage therapist thing, I really liked Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. Well, Al says, what's the difference if he what's the difference it makes if he is the best quarterback in the league if there's no receivers to throw it to?
That's a good point. Thank you for your texts. They're always good, and we always appreciate them. Coming up, I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning, and it's not the story about the bride on her wedding day who passed out. She threw up, and she got pooped on. How many brides has that ever happened to on their wedding day, that someone dropped a deuce on them? She was pooped on! Wait to hear about this. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Happy birthday, Ozzy Osbourne. Today, Ozzy turns 73. And here at Bayou 95.7, we'll be celebrating Ozzy's birthday by playing an Ozzy tune at the top of every hour. We play a lot of Ozzy and Black Sabbath anyways here on this radio station, and today we're playing more Ozzy to celebrate the fact that he's 73. Can you believe Ozzy Osbourne is 73 years old and he's still around it? To talk about it? No, we're not doing our segment, old people news.
I mean, that is news that a guy with his past can live to 70, past 70.
Yeah. It's amazing. The fact, what he accomplished in his first band when he was young, Black Sabbath, and then after they fired him. What he accomplished as a solo artist, and all of the drugs and the alcohol and the wild lifestyle, and he's still Ozzy. Good morning, John Osterlund, here with you. Believe this when I saw it, because even though millions of women have gotten married, I don't think this ever happened to a bride on her wedding day. Bride passes out, throws up, and gets pooped on during disaster wedding. Ew! Someone dropped a deuce on the bride.
You know, when I heard she got pooped on, I thought maybe it was just an outside wedding and a bird had just happened to fly by. And like that does happen regularly. You know, birds just... This is a person, you say.
This woman's name is Holly Linnea Kalenda Darnell.
How many times did she get married?
This just happened at one wedding, Coleman.
A lot of names.
She unintentionally put her groom's in sickness and in health loyalty to the test when she passed out, puked, and got pooped on during their wedding ceremony. She's 23 years old. She said, quote, I kept trying to tell my husband I didn't feel good and he thought I was joking.
Okay. So that explains why she passed out and vomited.
She told this story on TikTok, Coleman.
Of course she did. They always do that.
And evidently there's video of this. A visibly wobbly bride is seen gripping her groom's hands, signaling to him that she'd suddenly fallen ill, just as their pastor began officiating their holy matrimony under an outdoor gazebo in Florida.
Of course.
Of course it happened in Florida. Then she fell limp into her hubby to be's arms.
That's romantic, actually.
She's an attractive blonde woman. Are you okay? Her groom asked after he and the pastor caught her fall and began fanning her face. She shook her head no, then stumbled over to the railing of the gazebo. That's when she began heaving. That's when she began throwing up.
Ew, yuck.
The camera ultimately panned away from the barfing bride. But you could still hear her throwing up. While wedding guests and the officiant awkwardly talk among themselves, blaming the humidity for her sudden sickness. I mean, how much would that suck for a bride? This is the biggest day of your life. And you're standing there right in front of the pastor, right when he starts marrying you, right when he starts the vows. And she gets sick right then and there.
I wonder if she got sick right when the pastor said, if there's any reason why these two should not wed, speak now, forever hold your peace. And then God just decided to give a sign.
But in a subsequent video to her marriage catastrophe clip, she explained, I was super dehydrated and I hadn't drank or ate anything all day. She went on to reveal that she's prone to passing out and previously had been diagnosed with low blood pressure and low iron, thus rendering her doomed from the start. And unfortunately for her, that wasn't the only incident involving a bodily function on her wedding day. She says, after I passed out, my sister had a fan on my baby nephew, so she came over to me to put that fan on me. And as she was holding my nephew, he starts pooping. And the poop goes down her arm and onto my dress.
Did they put a diaper on the nephew?
Well, if they did, it was a little bit too late.
What did that guy eat?
Well, at least it was a young child who pooped on her. Her nephew. At least it
right,
was.
Right, that makes it all better.
Yeah, it was an adult, an adult guest.
That makes it all better. The age of the poop makes a big difference. Okay. I don't know what's worse. The fact that her wedding was destroyed and that she was vomiting and got pooped on, or the fact, like I'm starting to see now, she's starting that trend of sharing their most embarrassing moments on TikTok. I've been noticing a lot lately. Like, these women, for some reason, when they have an embarrassing moment, usually they want to hide it, block it out from their memory. No, they go to social media. They go to TikTok and say, hey, here's what happened to me. I got pooped on after I passed out. Wow.
Well, she's 23, Coleman.
So I know.
She's never lived in a world without the internet and without.
But she lives in a world with shame, right? No?
Well, they honeymooned in New York City, and they had a good time.
Well, did she wash off before they honeymooned, or was she able to change clothes?
Yeah.
Maybe get something to eat?
Well,
with some iron in her diet?
They'd planned to hop a plane to honeymoon in New York City right after the ceremony. She was miraculously able to get her dress dry cleaned in time for her flight to New York City, where she and her husband snapped wedding pictures on the Brooklyn Bridge.
This text says, not one, but two signs from God not to get married.
That's a good point, Dexter.
LJ from Chalmette says, that wedding sounds like it was the bleep.
Yeah.
I hope the honeymoon was a whole lot better.
What, her name?
Because usually most people get hung over and drunk during the aftermath and during the honeymoon and throw up, not during the actual wedding.
Well, her name is Holly Darnell, and she's 23. She's newly married, and now her wedding story about her throwing up on her wedding day, at her wedding, and her being pooped on by her nephew is now gone all over the place.
Can't wait to see their wedding album.
Yeah. All right. Coming up on the show. Still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. And this has to do with a photographer. And also a musician just broke a record. And I'm not talking about the kind of records that their music is on. We will tell you what musical record was just broken coming up next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. A musical record was just broken. Don McLean, Bye-Bye Miss American Pie. That song from 1971 was the longest song to ever top the Hot 100 Billboard chart. That song's over 7 minutes long.
Oh, yeah.
Bye-Bye Miss American Pie. That record just got broken. Taylor Swift has a 10-minute version of a song called All Too Well that just hit number one. And it broke a record that has been held since 1971. And because she did that, she sent him, Taylor Swift sent Don McLean a charitable and kindly gesture, flowers, and a note. And Don McLean said, what a classy artist. Thank you, Taylor Swift.
That is amazing that there is someone out there that's listening, that's willing to listen to Taylor Swift for 10 minutes.
Well, she just, she just did something that hasn't been done since 1971. Because most songs have to be 3 or 4 minutes, you know, to race up the charts, the music charts. You usually don't see very long songs that get to the top like that. But she did it. And then she, after she did it, she sent that to Don McLean, and he was happy that she did. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here. It's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Insect photographer draws fire for drugging his tiny subjects. You know, this is a world I know nothing about. one of the many worlds I know nothing about. But evidently, photographing insects and bugs is its own industry. And usually bug photographers will kill the insect and then photograph it different ways. This guy is taking heat because instead of killing them, he is drugging them. He makes them, he makes them sleepy, and he knocks them out so he can photograph them, but then they wake up and they fly away. And he's taking heat for that.
So what, they would rather him just kill the insect and just pose it the way he wants?
Evidently so, Coleman. His name is Steve James. I guess he's an award-winning bug photographer. But he says, my new technique and using anesthesia on insects rather than killing them seems to work. But yet, when he said that online, there were a bunch of people who commented, what, you're drugging the bugs? You SOB, how dare you dope up the bugs, you dope.
But they stay alive and they get to fly away afterwards.
That's why this doesn't make much.
That is pretty dumb when you think about it. I wonder how long it takes for him to actually drug the bug. Like, does he have a spray? Because I know at my house, they get squashed. They don't even stick around to get posed.
Again, this guy, this bug photographer, his name is Steve James. He just won the Bug Life Bug Photography Awards Bug Photographer of the Year Award last week.
Hooray for him.
And he has now quickly come under fire from other bug photographers and fans of bug photographs. Could you who is into this? Could you imagine?
No, I can't. I don't like the way bugs look. So I wouldn't be interested in bug photography. I'm into boobs. Boob photography is pretty cool. But I don't have to drug anybody to...
I mean, we always want to learn, and we can learn from bugs, and you got to take pictures of them. But I didn't know... I mean, this is a...
I didn't know you could win an award for it.
It's a whole industry. And now this guy is taking some crap because instead of killing the bugs before he photographs them, he drugs them.
That is pretty stupid when you think about it.
So the bug photographer who is drawing fire for doping his tiny subjects, that's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only. Classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Happy birthday, Ozzy Osbourne. Today, Ozzy turns 73. And here at Bayou 95.7, we'll be celebrating Ozzy's birthday by playing an Ozzy tune at the top of every hour. We play a lot of Ozzy and Black Sabbath anyways here on this radio station, and today we're playing more Ozzy to celebrate the fact that he's 73. Can you believe Ozzy Osbourne is 73 years old and he's still around to talk about it? No, we're not doing our segment, old people news.
I mean, that is news that a guy with his past can live to 70, past 70.
Yeah, it's amazing the fact what he accomplished in his first band when he was young, Black Sabbath, and then after they fired him, what he accomplished as a solo artist, and all of the drugs and the alcohol and the wild lifestyle, and Ozzy still. He's still Ozzy. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. I couldn't believe this when I saw it, because even though millions of women have gotten married, I don't think this ever happened to a bride on her wedding day. Bride passes out, throws up, and gets pooped on during disaster wedding. Someone dropped a deuce on the bride.
You know, when I heard she got pooped on, I thought maybe it was just an outside wedding and a bird had just happened to fly by. And like that does happen regularly. You know, birds just... This is a person, you say.
This woman's name is Holly Linnea Calenda Darnell.
How many times did she get married?
This just happened at one wedding, Coleman.
A lot of names.
She unintentionally put her groom's in sickness and in health loyalty to the test when she passed out, puked, and got pooped on during their wedding ceremony. She's 23 years old. She said, quote, "I kept trying to tell my husband I didn't feel good, and he thought I was joking."
Okay. So that explains why she passed out and vomited.
She told this story on TikTok, Coleman.
Of course she did. They always do that.
And evidently there's video of this. A visibly wobbly bride is seen gripping her groom's hands, signaling to him that she'd suddenly fallen ill just as their pastor began officiating their holy matrimony under an outdoor gazebo in Florida.
Of course.
Of course it happened in Florida. Then she fell limp into her hubby-to-be's arms.
That's romantic, actually.
She's an attractive blonde woman. "Are you okay?" her groom asked after he and the pastor caught her fall and began fanning her face. She shook her head no, then stumbled over to the railing of the gazebo. That's when she began heaving. That's when she began throwing up.
Ew, yuck.
The camera ultimately panned away from the barfing bride. But you could still hear her throwing up while wedding guests and the officiant awkwardly talk among themselves, blaming the humidity for her sudden sickness. I mean, how much would that suck for a bride? This is the biggest day of your life. And you're standing there right in front of the pastor, right when he starts marrying you, right when he starts the vows. And she gets sick right then and there.
I wonder if she got sick right when the pastor said, "If there's any reason why these two should not wed, speak now, forever hold your peace." And then God just decided to give a sign.
But in a subsequent video to her marriage catastrophe clip, she explained, "I was super dehydrated and I hadn't drank or ate anything all day." She went on to reveal that she's prone to passing out and previously had been diagnosed with low blood pressure and low iron, thus rendering her doomed from the start. And unfortunately for her, that wasn't the only incident involving a bodily function on her wedding day. She says, after I passed out, my sister had a fan on my baby nephew, so she came over to me to put that fan on me, and as she was holding my nephew, he starts pooping. And the poop goes down her arm and onto my dress.
Did they put a diaper on the nephew?
Well, if they did, it was a little bit too late.
What did that guy eat?
Well, at least it was a young child who pooped on her nephew. At least it
right,
was
that makes it all better.
Yeah, it was an adult guest.
That makes it all better. The age of the poop makes a big difference. Okay. I don't know what's worse. The fact that her wedding was destroyed and that she was vomiting and got pooped on. Or the fact, like I'm starting to see now, she's starting that trend of sharing their most embarrassing moments on TikTok. I've been noticing a lot lately. Like these women, for some reason, when they have an embarrassing moment, usually they want to hide it, block it out from their memory. No, they go to social media. They go to TikTok and say, hey, here's what happened to me. I got pooped on after I passed out. Wow.
Well, she's 23, Coleman.
So I know.
She's never lived in a world without the internet and without.
But she lives in a world with shame, right? No?
Well, they honeymooned in New York City, and they had a good time.
Well, did she wash off before they honeymooned, or was she able to change clothes?
Yeah.
Maybe get something to eat?
Well.
Put some iron in her diet?
They'd planned to hop a plane to honeymoon in New York City right after the ceremony. She was miraculously able to get her dress dry cleaned in time for her flight to New York City, where she and her husband snapped wedding pictures on the Brooklyn Bridge.
This text says, not one, but two signs from God not to get married.
That's a good point, Dexter.
LJ from Chalmette says, that wedding sounds like it was the bleep.
Yeah.
I hope the honeymoon was a whole lot better.
What, her name?
Because usually most people get hung over and drunk during the aftermath and during the honeymoon and throw up, not during the actual wedding.
Well, her name is Holly Darnell, and she's 23. She's newly married, and now her wedding story about her throwing up on her wedding day, at her wedding, and her being pooped on by her nephew is now gone all over the place.
Can't wait to see their wedding album.
Yeah. All right. Coming up on the show, still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. And this has to do with a photographer. And also, a musician just broke a record. And I'm not talking about the kind of records that their music is on. We will tell you what musical record was just broken coming up next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. A musical record was just broken. Don McLean. Oh, bye-bye, Miss American Pie. That song from 1971 was the longest song to ever top the Hot 100 Billboard chart. That song's over 7 minutes long.
Oh, yeah.
Bye Bye Miss American Pie. That record just got broken. Taylor Swift has a 10-minute version of a song called All Too Well that just hit number one. And broke a record that has been held since 1971. And because she did that, she sent him, Taylor Swift sent Don McLean a charitable and kindly gesture, flowers, and a note. And Don McLean said, "What a classy artist. Thank you, Taylor Swift."
That is amazing that there is someone out there that's listening, that's willing to listen to Twits, Taylor Swift for 10 minutes.
Well, she just, she just did something that hasn't been done since 1971. Because most songs have to be 3 or 4 minutes, you know, to race up the charts, the music charts. You usually don't see very long songs that get to the top like that, but she did it, and then she, after she did it, she sent that to Don McLean, and he was happy that she did. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here. It's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Insect photographer draws fire for drugging his tiny subjects. You know, this is a world I know nothing about. One of the many worlds I know nothing about. But evidently, photographing insects and bugs is its own industry. And usually, bug photographers will kill the insect and then photograph it different ways. This guy is taking heat because instead of killing them, he is drugging them. He makes them, he makes them sleepy, and he knocks them out so he can photograph them, but then they wake up and they fly away. And he's taking heat for that.
So what, they would rather him just kill the insect and just pose it the way he wants?
Evidently so, Coleman. His name is Steve James. I guess he's an award-winning bug photographer. But he says, my new technique and using anesthesia on insects rather than killing them seems to work. But yet, when he said that online, there were a bunch of people who commented, what, you're drugging the bugs? You SOB. How dare you dope up the bugs, you dope.
But they stay alive and they get to fly away afterwards.
That's why this doesn't make much.
That is pretty dumb when you think about it. I wonder how long it takes for him to actually drug the bug. Like, does he have a spray? Because I know at my house, they get squashed. They don't even stick around to get posed.
Again, this guy, this bug photographer, his name is Steve James. He just won the Bug Life Bug Photography Awards Bug Photographer of the Year Award last week.
Hooray for him.
And he has now quickly come under fire from other bug photographers and fans of bug photographs. Could you imagine? Who is into this? Could you imagine?
No, I can't. I don't like the way bugs look, so I wouldn't be interested in bug photography. I'm into boobs. Boob photography is pretty cool, but I don't have to drug anybody to.
I mean, we always want to learn, and we can learn from bugs, and you got to take pictures of them, but I didn't know. I mean, this is a,
I didn't know you could win an award for it.
It's a whole industry. And now this guy is taking some crap because instead of killing the bugs before he photographs them, he drugs them.
That is pretty stupid when you think about it.
So the bug photographer who is drawing fire for doping his tiny subjects, that's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.